Members, we'll call the meeting to order. This meeting of the House Civil Law Committee will come to order. We don't have quorum here yet, members, but we'll begin hearing the first bill and won't have any motions come forward until we get quorum going. So, Representative Wardlow, do you want to bring forward House File 396, I think it is?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This bill is House File 396. It's a bill relating to the Minnesota Common Interest Ownership Act, various technical changes, reclassification, and a few minor substantive changes. And there's an amendment I'd like to move.
Representative Wardlow, do you want to move your bill first and then the amendment? I believe it goes to the General Register.
Certainly. Move the bill to go to the General Register.
Okay. Your amendment, Representative Wardlow, the motion was that the bill pass and be transferred to the General Register. Mm-hmm. The amendment?
And I move the A1 amendment.
Okay, and do you want to move your A1 amendment, Representative Wardlow?
Yes.
Representative Wardlow moves that his A1 amendment be moved forward. Any discussion, Representative Wardlow, on the amendment? Would you like to explain it to folks?
First of all, just a couple technical changes. Mr. Bray, if I could please.
Yeah, my name is Tom Bray. I am the chair of the MCIWA Committee of the Real Property Law Section of the Minnesota State Bar Association. The second piece of the amendment, lines 1.5 through 1.7, is a clarification to try to ensure that if there is a contractual limitation on a warranty period, that evidence of that is placed in the land records to put future parties on notice.
Okay, thank you. It's Mr. Bray?
Bray, B-R-A-Y.
Mr. Yes. Bray and Representative Wardlow. Members, Representative Wardlow brings forward his A1 amendment to get the bill into the form that he would like it. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passes. The amendment is adopted. Representative Wardlow, do you want to proceed with your bill as amended and describing the bill?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. I'll turn it over. This is a bar bill to Mr. Bray to give an explanation of the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bray. And you did introduce yourself. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. House File 396 addresses issues that were brought to the attention of our bar committee after the passage of the 2010 amendments to the Minnesota Common Interest Ownership Act. The bulk of the bill is a recodification of 8 sections that were amended in 2010. The 2010 amendments, generally speaking, are applicable from and after August 1st with respect to all common interest communities. But there were 8 provisions in the 2010 amendments that have limited applicability. They apply only to common interest communities that were created after August 1st, 2010, or to certain events and circumstances that occur after August 1st, 2010. The purpose of the recodification is to ensure that in the current published statutes, that with respect to those 8 sections, both the pre-2010 version of the statute and the version as amended in 2010 will both appear in the statutes, so that a practitioner trying to figure out what the law is can look in one place and find the applicable statute, regardless of when the CIC was created. Then there are 7 minor substantive changes to the bill, or to the act. Section 3 of the bill at page 12 amends provisions in the Common Interest Ownership Act that relate to the recording of documents affecting pre-existing common interest communities. It's a clarification to ensure that if a document that is being recorded modifies the description of an existing tax parcel, then that document will require a certification from the county treasurer as to delinquent and current taxes. Section 4 of the bill at page 13 prohibits developers and associations from granting parking stall licenses to person other than unit owners and requires that when a parking stall license is granted, the developer must give the original grant of license to the unit owner and give a copy of that license to the association. Section 7 of the bill at page 24 is just correcting a typo. There was a reference there that was intended to be to the association, and it was it reads Master Association today, so Section 7 simply deletes that word master. Section 8 of the bill at page 28 clarifies who must sign a declaration for a new CIC that is created on property severed from an existing CIC. With the downturn in the economy, we're seeing more severances of existing CICs, and this is simply a procedural clarification to make sure that the documents are properly executed. Section 9 of the bill at page 30 clarifies that when certain easements, leases, and licenses affecting common elements are amended, that the consent of the unit owners is required. Section 11 of the bill at pages 37 and 38 clarifies that when certain documents are recorded in connection with a transfer of special declarant rights, that they are recorded against title to all units in the CIC. And Section 13 of the bill at page 44 clarifies that when a association is turned over, when control of the association is transferred from the developer to the homeowners, the homeowners or the homeowner-controlled association has the authority to terminate certain contracts entered into by the developer. There's a list of exceptions, and we added to that list of exceptions the parking stall licenses.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bray. Any questions for Mr. Bray, Representative Wardlow? Chair Westrom has a question.
Mr. Chair, and to the testifier, the Realtors Association has got a bill also coming through regarding to a small change on common interest communities, and I know it's not in front of this bill. My question is, are you willing to work with them on that? And what I understand it would do is another change that says there's a 10-day notice requirement in statute, and whether it's the a buyer or the agent that receives it, the 10 days would then start under their language. Currently, it's a little unclear, or the buyer's agent doesn't have the authority to do it. Is that something similar to a minor change that you guys are proposing, and is it something that we could connect up eventually?
Mr. Bray?
Chairman, members of the committee, we have worked with the Realtors Association on that language. We've been unable to come up with language that was satisfactory to our committee because our concern is that the language proposed by the Realtors may result in a reduction in the assurances that unit owners get the full 10 days to review the disclosure materials. I mean, we're more than happy to continue to work with the Realtors on that language. That is our concern, though, is to try to ensure that purchasers of common interest communities are insured of getting the full 10 days to review those disclosure materials.
Representative Westrom?
Well, Mr. Chair, and to the witness, I would hope maybe we could merge some of these common interest bills that so the more you can do to work on that, I would encourage or hope that we could work something out. I expect that to be coming forward as well, but I know Representative Kahn's got another one right after this, and might make sense to merge them all eventually. But the license thing, question, the change of the license, what's driving that, and is there situations where the homeowners don't know that's the case up front, or what's kind of the drive behind that change of allowing licenses to other persons besides association members?
Mr. Bray?
Chairman, members of the committee. Actually, the drive behind that amendment was a discussion that we had with representatives of the county's assessors last year following the 2010 amendments. They have some concerns regarding the licensing process and difficulties that they are having tracking licenses for purposes of real estate taxation. We met with them last summer, and that limitation on licenses to unit owners is one piece that they suggested that we could do to help alleviate that problem. It has not resolved the problem, and we're continuing to work with them to resolve that problem, but that was actually the motivation for that particular amendment.
Any other questions for Mr. Bray or Representative Wardlow? Okay, Representative Runbeck.
Mr. Chair, just a question on page 51, section 17, is that all existing language, or is there any new meaning to the whole area of common expenses? Any new...
Mr. Bray?
New things?
There is nothing new. This is one of the recodification sections. Section 17 is a recodification of the 2010 amendment. Section 16 is the language that applies to CICs that were created prior to 2010.
Okay. Representative Runbeck?
Right. Thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Bray? Seeing none, Mr. Bray, thank you. And if you want to stand by in the event there's additional questions, Representative Wardlow, next is Mr. Baker. Is he here? Mr. Baker, if you want to give us your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Stephen Baker. I'm the Ramsey County Assessor, but I'm here as a member of the Legislative Committee for the Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers. As Mr. Bray, I think, started to inform the committee, assessors do have some concerns about the licensing of common elements and some difficulties it creates, I think, will create in the future that impact our ability to really accurately track the value of different units that benefit from different numbers of licensed parking stalls. This could affect things like equalization, our sales racial studies, things like that. We did have some discussions with the bar last year, and those discussions will continue. I just wanted to inform the group that the committee that we do have some concerns over this that do need to be resolved. As Mr. Bray said, we need to figure out how this is going to work in the future with licensing. They will not be disclosed to assessors. In the past, these have been listed as individual units or as limited common elements and we typically have put a PIN number on them, or they've been part of a parcel. That will no longer be the case with licensing. Additionally, there's a section in 515 that provides for common elements to not be taxed. And the theory behind that is one of double taxation, that typically common elements, you would assume that they're contributing value to all the units in the condominium. And so if you pay X amount of dollars for your unit, that's including your pro rata share of those common elements. Once we start licensing these individually, and they're used not for the association as a whole, but by individual users, that becomes problematic. And so I think we'd like to see some change that would clarify that common elements, once licensed, would become taxable if the assessor feels that that is the appropriate way to go. I think we've got a long history in Minnesota of assessors not taxing common elements separately because of case law in the past. And this provision really, in my view, probably should be in the tax section rather than in 515. It survived here since 93 because it wasn't in conflict with our practices. But I think it's time now to, if licensing is going to continue, it's time for us to look at that section as well.
Questions for Mr. Baker? Questions for Mr. Baker? Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Can you just clarify which is the piece that you think should be fixed in this bill?
It is, I didn't bring that down with me. It's in, it's not in the bill. I don't think it's in this bill in front of you because they're not proposing to amend it this year. So it was a section that was being left alone, so it's not in the bill this year. But I could get you the section in the bill, section number of the current statute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't passing a bill that's not ready yet, but it sounds like it's a different issue, so thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Baker? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you.
Representative Wardlow, before we go to you, anybody else that would like to testify for or against the bill before us? House File 396. Okay, Representative Wardlow.
Alrighty, I think that sums up the bill.
Okay. Any other discussion, questions? Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure we move the amendment when we had a quorum.
I th- Thought we did have a quorum, yes. We did have a quorum, Representative Hartman.
Great.
I did call us to order. You want?
Minutes.
I will do an official call to order. This meeting is officially called to order. We did start the hearing prior to having quorum, but the bill and the amendment were moved when there was quorum here, so I think we're okay.
Just to be on the safe side, Mr. Chair, would you like me to move the amendment?
We will move them both again, Representative Hartman. Thank you. Representative Wardlow, would you please move them again, starting with the bill first and then the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the bill to pass and be sent to the General Register, and then the amendment, A1 amendment to the bill.
Okay, the House File 396 has been moved to pass and be placed on the General Register, and then the A1 amendment to get the bill into the author's preferred shape. All in favor of the amendment, the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion passes. The A1 amendment is adopted. Any other questions, comments on the amended bill in front of us? Seeing none, all in favor of having the bill be recommended to pass and transferring it to the General Register, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion passes. The bill is passed and sent to the General Register.
Next, we've got House File 362, Representative Kahn. Another stimulating common interest community bill. We're warmed up for you, Representative Kahn. If you can tell us the purpose of your bill, and the chair will move House File 362 be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a delete everything amendment, and maybe you should move that one too.
Okay. Representative Hartman will move the DE one amendment. Is it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We got to get a copy of it here. Oh. Representative Hartman, you willing to move that?
I am, Mr. Chair.
It is the DE-1 amendment. Representative Hortman moves the DE-1 amendment. Any discussion to that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Yeah. Hortman. Representative Kahn, tell us about your bill and the amended version.
This bill came because Senator Pogomiller and I were both approached by a constituent who had experience with association records and asked for clarifying language to prevent disagreements. And what the bill says that any member, the law says, that any member of an association may look at the language related to his lease. But this bill then seeks to clarify the language regarding the copying of available documents as well as costs associated with making the copies. It's kind of, it's followed after a Colorado law where they ran into this problem. And I think anyone had logically assumed if you can look at it, you can also copy it to take it away. But the bill was vetted by Senate Counsel, House Counsel, the Minnesota Bar Association, and the Minnesota Multi-Housing Authority. And it was reviewed by the Minnesota Bar Association attorneys, who then accepted the changes that have gone into the DE-1 amendment to make it clear about the costs of copying and so forth. But it's definitely not their bill. They don't have any objection, but the process for vetting something to becoming a bar bill is something that nobody was willing to go through for such a pretty minor matter. And so the main change of the point of the delete everything amendment was to specifically keep confidential records. Some records of association are confidential, and this would keep those confidential records confidential. And so that's the, and then the actual costs were kind of clarified in the last two parts of the amendment. So I think it's pretty simple. I don't have a lot of knowledge of it. I usually don't do such boring bills, but it's about time.
Representative Kahn, was there a particular issue that arose that led to this? Can you just share that
with us? Yes, what's happened in several, I don't know if it happened to the constituent or to people that he knows, but it, there were some cases where the letter of the law only said to look at the record, and they would not let, and they would not allow a copy to be made. And there was lengthy discussion and lengthy, maybe even legal actions and so forth. But it's obviously that, it's obvious that look at should also mean copy. And, you know, this clearly came up in Colorado before, so we just followed their law.
Okay.
And restricting it to the level that the people who work with these kinds of things say makes sense. So it's very, so to protect the confidential records and so forth, and also to make sure that the price was reasonable.
Any questions? Representative Kahn, I assume you're finished?
Yes.
Any questions, Representative Mahoney?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Kahn. So with your bill, no confidential records that are confidential today can be copied, can be viewed by the public. I mean, you're not changing any of the confidentiality laws whatsoever, because that takes it into a whole nother data privacy, and your bill does not allow for copying confidential records and taking them off-site.
Absolutely, and that's, Mr. Chairman, and that was what the Bar Association worked on to change the original language of the bill, which didn't make that absolutely clear. Let's talk about all records.
Thank you.
Any other questions, members? Representative Kahn, do you have anybody testifying for? Or
no, I didn't. I thought I'd leave that constituent alone and not make him come in today.
Is there anybody in the audience that wants to testify for or against this bill? I understand Representative Kahn, the bar, MSBA, has worked with you on the amendment and is at least neutral or fine with this change?
They're fine with it, but they explain that the activity, the person is specifically, the activity to get this to be a bar-approved bill is not worth it.
Okay. Any other questions, members? Otherwise, the chair will renew his motion to pass House File 362. House File 362 be recommended to pass and placed on the general register as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. Next, members, we've got Representative Erdahl, and he's not. Okay. He's on his way down, I understand, from Paige. Members, we've got some minutes to approve.
You have them?
All right, we're going to wait till Wednesday. There's a couple minor errors that we want to fix first. So, members, all right, Representative Erdahl, we bought enough time for you. Members, what I was going to just elaborate on, and we'll send an email out, is the data privacy. Come down, Representative Erdahl.
I'm here.
The data practices subcommittee, we've got it named, and the members will be Representative Lesch, Representative Simon, Representative Holberg, Representative Scott, and Representative Mazerol. It'll be a five-member subcommittee. Representative Scott will be chairing it. And so we'll send out a notice on that by email, but to the audience and to members, look for that information in the near future. Representative Erdahl, Representative Joskowski moves the passage of House File
264.
House File 264 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Agriculture Committee. Representative Erdahl, please proceed. Introduce your bill, commonly known as the Cheeseburger Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Personal responsibility of food consumption, the official name. Bill 264 underscores that people are responsible for their own actions, particularly where food is concerned. Legitimate lawsuits involving tainted food, mislabeling, and dishonesty are still allowed. It simply deals with issues of weight gain. Simply put, if you eat too many cheeseburgers and get fat, you can't sue the food retailer. This bill protects our retailers, processors, and ultimately the growers, our farmers, from frivolous lawsuits. This is about personal responsibility and reform. In my last count, 23 states had passed similar legislation. This started back in 2003 when several teenagers in New York brought suit against McDonald's for their weight gain. The case was dismissed and revived several times until McDonald's finally settled. There have been other lawsuits, Kellogg's, Burger King, KFC, Wendy's, all settled out of court, eventually costing millions of dollars that consumers wind up paying. Last summer, lawsuits were filed against McDonald's for Happy Meals in California. Now, I could go on. I have for the last 7 years. Frankly, I wasn't going to bring this bill up again. I vowed last time that I'd never do it again until the Republicans gained control of the state Senate in Minnesota. Funny thing happened. I thought that would be forever. But here we are. Let me anticipate some of your questions. Have any judgments been won against fast foods? Last year, in Brazil, believe it or not, a man gained 65 pounds and won a lawsuit for $17,500. So even though it's not in this country, it is starting to happen. In the United States, settlements have been reached, all costing consumers money at some point in terms of increased prices. And in Minnesota, not yet. I believe it's a matter of time. Is there any organized effort to oppose obesity lawsuits? The Public Health Advocacy Institute held a conference in Boston featuring a seminar, Legal Approaches to the Obesity Epidemic. Does it have wide support? National Gallup poll showed 89% of the people supporting this type of legislation. Does the bill have other support? I have a list that's been provided for you. If not, I will admit, these haven't been contacted this year, but they were in the past. Dozens of supporters, different groups for this bill. On the other side, we have my traditional opponent, the trial lawyers. So we have on this side dozens, and on this side the other. Is this a solution in search of a problem? It is true that fast food has not been found liable, but the problem and potential exists, and there is a cost. Liability insurance has risen 35%. Now, no matter what my opponents to this bill say, lawsuits have been filed and they will continue to be filed, and eventually they will in Minnesota. We all pay through higher costs, and we shouldn't have to. Now, please understand, this is not about condoning obesity. I once received the Legislator of the Year Award for Minnesota from the American Heart Association. I don't condone unhealthy food. This is about common sense and making responsible choices. This bill has enjoyed the support of dozens of farm and food groups. It has passed the Minnesota House more than once, only to die in the Senate. It passed the U.S. House by a vote of 276 to 139, only to suffer a similar senatorial fate. This time, I think the time is right for a more favorable outcome and to protect jobs and the pocketbooks of the people we represent. So, with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you. You can vote, and I'll leave.
Don't vote that or leave that fast, Representative Erdahl. Right. But members, any questions? Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Erdahl, thanks for bringing the bill. It's always a source of great entertainment, if nothing else. But I also...
I was downplaying it.
Pardon me?
I'm low-key today.
You are relatively low-key. Thank you for bringing the bill, because I think you bring... The general idea is a common-sense idea, of course. I mean, you can't eat 10 or 12 cheeseburgers, get fat, and then claim that someone else did it and not you. And the personal responsibility part is laudable. But I have a couple of questions about the specific language here, and forgive me, I don't know whether this... I think this is a good bit different than some of the other proposals over the years, but I'm looking at line 1.17 here, and you also immunize from liability those who produce or manufacture non-alcoholic beverages. Somebody here has passed out some articles to all of us here on the committee about various energy drinks or power drinks or things like that. Do you have any concern that maybe you're casting too wide a net here, that some of these as of yet unproven drinks might pose some sort of hazard that we maybe don't know about? I mean, I guess my question is why beverages, and why not just keep it to cheeseburgers or the like?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Simon, thank you. First, there haven't been very many changes to this over the years. This would be very close to the bill as it was before, and I think that the beverages were in there. Now, I'm not so sold on that. The concern is weight gain. If a beverage causes weight gain, you would not sue on that basis. If there were other factors that were causing health concerns, it would be open to lawsuit.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simon.
Well, thank you, Representative Erdahl. And that leads me, that's a good segue into my next question on line 1.21. I completely understand why you'd want to have a provision here about weight gain or obesity. But then you go on more broadly to talk about a health condition associated with weight gain or obesity and resulting from the individuals or groups or individuals' long-term purchase or consumption. So let's take diabetes, for example, and let's say someone consumed a beverage that...
Just a second, Representative Simon. Can everybody check so their cell phones are off? That's the feedback we're getting, I believe. Go ahead, Representative Simon.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Chair. So let's say the condition is diabetes, and let's say for some reason there was evidence that, at least enough evidence to say in a lawsuit, that someone's diabetic condition was enhanced, or in fact that they got diabetes in part from drinking a food or beverage. Now, they're not suing because they gained weight or because they became obese. They're suing because they had diabetes. Would this bill cover that? Could someone not sue because diabetes is a health condition associated with weight gain or obesity? Or is that not your intention here?
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you. That's not my intention.
Okay.
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And... Representative Erdahl, thanks for bringing the bill, first of all. This is always, it's a short bill, and I like short bills. My question relates to, I'm trying to pair this with a way that someone would be able to get out from under this in the future. Take asbestos, for example, which when it was put in, there was not the general knowledge that it was bad for you, as opposed to smoking, which... people generally knew was bad for you. Everyone could hear their aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa with a smoking hack when they got old and smoked too much cigarettes. People kind of understood that. Take comparing it to food where people know generally what's healthy and what's not based on what you eat it, but not necessarily based on what's put in it. And we put all kinds of things in there in order to either save money or for fillers. So how would this bill impact a situation where a food manufacturer is starting to put a certain kind of hormone or chemical into a food, which seems like a filler, it seems like it's okay, it seems like it's a preservative. But 20 years from now, everyone's getting either early onset diabetes or something because the manufacturer had the indications it was bad for you at a certain point. But afterwards, we find out everyone knows, oh, yeah, this is what's causing the problems. Would that allow a manufacturer to dodge liability in the way that, say, Ford did with the Pinto when it knew putting a gas tank in that spot was causing people to die in carbecues? Would, after that, would it allow a manufacturer to avoid liability when they knew they were doing something wrong but everyone else didn't? Do you need me to rephrase that?
No, I think I'm all right.
Okay.
Representative Riddle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lesh, if there's anything harmful in a product, if it's, again, mislabeled or there is something harmful in the product that causes some health concern that is not obesity, it is my intention that a lawsuit would be able to proceed.
Oh, okay.
Representative Lesh.
Mr. Chair, that's your intention, but is that what the language says?
Well, line 2-3 and 2-4-2-5. Subdivision 3 does not apply to a claim of weight gain or obesity that is based on. And I would think that under 1 or 2 of the subdivisions there, that it would apply.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, I appreciate that and I understand that, and I think that's probably the only way you could have phrased it in order to meet with your intention. My concern, Representative Erdahl, is the only reason we have that information about the Ford Pinto, for example, that they knew there was something wrong with the product and didn't tell us was because of an internal memo that got leaked. Someone may correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no way that we would have been able to establish that adulteration or misbranding absent exhaustive discovery process whereby that memo was discovered. And so that's the root of my concern.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Erdahl.
Representative Lesh, you understand my intent, and if before the next stop with this committee, if we could work out something that would keep my intent but still address your concern, I'm willing to look at that.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Erdahl. I'm just wondering, I don't want this bill to meet the same fate that it has in the past. Is this traveling in the Senate?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Scott.
Representative Erdahl.
Yes, it certainly is. Senator Hahn has the bill there, and it is traveling.
Any other questions, members? Otherwise, we'll ask Joe Carlson to come up. He's the only other one we have on this list. What's that?
Who's he?
You'll find out shortly.
The guy who's 6-0 against me on this one? 1-6.
Mr. Carlson,
get to that.
Welcome to our committee. Introduce yourself to Representative Erdahl, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Joel Carlson. I represent the Minnesota Association for Justice, and I want you to know that not a single one of our members has ever filed a case relative to weight gain. But we do have some concerns about the bill. We're not here to try and protect or preserve a case relative to weight gain. But no one has promoted this issue more than Representative Erdahl since 2002, when the first case was filed in New York. There have been, I've only found two cases filed in the country relative to this issue, and there's never been a single case filed in Minnesota. Our concern is that this bill ignores the national epidemic of obesity, and it creates a false impression that Minnesota courts and attorneys are filing these cases that have no merit. Now, obesity, according to the American Medical Association, kills over 400,000 citizens each year. The Center for Disease Control tells us that 60% of us are overweight, 24% of us are obesely overweight, and 3% of us are severely obesely overweight. That probably includes me. I look at that little chart, too. And I'm actually the appropriate weight, but I'm supposed to be 6'9". but, Mr. Chairman, in addition to this ignoring the obesity issue, it fails to recognize that childhood obesity is not just a personal responsibility. You know, we have parents, schools, doctors. We have all kinds of people that are involved in nutrition for children. It's not just an issue of personal responsibility, and even the government plays a role. The government requires food labeling, disclosure of content, packaging, production. You know, so to say that food is simply a personal responsibility, I think, ignores that not all of us are fully informed consumers, and many of us, like children, just simply don't have the information necessary to make an informed decision. Weight gain cases in Minnesota are not allowed, we believe, under law, and we believe our law in Minnesota already requires personal responsibility. And I'd point the committee to Minnesota Statute 604, which is our comparative fault and comparative negligence statute. And what that says is that your responsibility for your own action would be compared to everyone else's that you're trying to make a claim against. And I think everyone at this table would say, without a doubt, that your intake of food is primarily your personal responsibility. And so we already have a law that protects, and that's the reason cases have not been brought in Minnesota, is that we already protect personal responsibility. I would also tell you that these cases are legally deficient in Minnesota because we recognize the assumption of risk. If you go in and you eat that hamburger, you assume that risk. And you assume it, and Minnesota law recognizes it, and these cases have never been brought. I can also tell you that these cases have substantial proof problems. There are many causes for obesity. It's not just the food intake. It's lack of exercise, your lifestyle, genetic predisposition. You know, a lawyer bringing a claim for weight gain in Minnesota, which has never been brought, I believe would be subject to sanction under Minnesota Statute 549.211, and I believe that is just not happening in Minnesota. And it's obviously not happening not only on weight gain but of other cases. If you look at the Minnesota Supreme Court case tracking, you'll see that personal injury cases in Minnesota are down 40% in the last 10 years. Only 3,800 cases filed statewide in 2010. I do have a couple comments on the bill just on its face, Mr. Chairman and members. And I want you to know that on line 1.16, immunity from civil liability. How this bill operates, this is what I think is important. This would be the first time in Minnesota history that our legislature is granting civil immunity. And immunity, by the way, is an exemption from penalties, payments, or legal requirements granted by the legislature. That's what immunity is. We are granting immunity to a manufacturer of a product, food in this instance, that has an adverse health effect on the person making the claim. That's what this bill does. There is no claim right now. What we're saying, to get at Representative Lesch's comments about learning about things that happen, what we're saying is that when you do have a manufacturer who has manufactured a food product that either increases your weight or has an adverse health effect, they are immune from liability. Things we don't even know about right now, this would immunize that conduct. And I would suggest that the exception to that general immunity rule in the front of the bill on the back needs to be amended if it is going to do what Representative Erdahl intends. And I would say that amendment needs to be on line 2.3, and we would need to delete the word material. What Representative Erdahl says, if you have a violation of labeling or adulteration, he wants people to be able to preserve their civil rights to bring a claim and their constitutional right to a remedy. The word material on 2.3 and 2.6, I think, totally swallows that protection that Representative Erdahl wants to give you. And that is, the argument from the defense is going to be that even though we misbranded the product or mislabeled it, it was not material to your injury. So we need to say, to get to where he wants to be, we need to say that a violation of an alteration or misbranding requirement by federal or state law to get to the point where he wants to get to. Because right now it doesn't. Because it simply allows you to say that injury, our mislabeling was not material to your injury. You know, there are no cases here in Minnesota, but you need to know that there are cases, continuing on with what Representative Simon has been telling the committee, there are cases relative to food companies. McDonald's sues Burger King. Coca-Cola sues Pepsi. Pepsi sues Coca-Cola over energy drink claims. Pepsi sues Coke over Powerade. You know, there are cases in court right now that are going on by the very companies that are promoting this bill, but it certainly isn't from consumers bringing the kinds of cases that this bill would preclude in the future on things that we don't even know about. Last two things I want to point out, Mr. Chairman and members. Representative Erdahl mentioned, and it's in a handout from the Insurance Federation, that there is some nefarious activity going on, and they're training people to have an onslaught of lawsuits. Representative Erdahl mentioned a seminar. That seminar was in 2003. It was held by the Public Health Advocacy Institute, and it talked about legal approaches to the obesity epidemic. And what they talked about is legislation and regulations. They did talk about litigation, and the litigation at that conference in 2003, and there's been no flood of litigation since, was how to get trans fat out of fast food restaurants. That's what the litigation was about. It had nothing to do with weight gain, and it was held by a public health advocacy group. It certainly wasn't letter from the Insurance Federation says, trial lawyers have held strategy sessions and seminars to hatch their schemes, estimating they could reap hundreds of billions of dollars by suing food producers. That's just absolutely untrue. It didn't happen, and I think it's unfair to bring that information to the committee in such an unfair context. I'm happy to answer questions that you might have, Mr. Chairman, about the bill. We do have concerns about it, but you need to know that those concerns are not to preserve somebody's right to bring a claim for weight gain. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Questions, members? Representative Grunhagen has one.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carlson, you know, looking over these two articles about Pepsi suing Coke and McDonald's suing, that has to do with advertisement or the use of a name in advertisement. When I look at Representative Erdahl's bill, immunity of civil liability, what I see, and again, I'm not a lawyer, layperson, is that we're protecting manufacturers, producers, you know, et cetera, from a legally made product that meets certain standards, and the person chooses to use it to excess or to a point where it may be damaging to their health. And that's where I think the personal responsibility comes in, is that if there's a product, you know, let's just say I chose to eat 100 bananas, and I had a ruptured, my stomach ruptured because of that. That's not the banana producer's fault, okay? So the examples that are given about the, you know, Pepsi sues Coke and McDonald's sues Burger King, that's advertisement. That's not the abuse of a legal product. And that's where I side with Representative Erdahl on personal responsibility. But not being a lawyer, maybe I'm missing something. Your response, please.
Mr. Chairman, Carlson.
Mr. Chairman and members, Representative Grunhagen, I hope you don't eat the 100 bananas. the point is this. This bill is the first time we're granting immunity to manufacturers for products that cause injury. My point, under the guise of frivolous litigation and our clogged courts and the other comments from the Insurance Federation about what's going on in our courts, and what my point is that that is not happening. But this is what is. Our courts are being used by corporations every day, and I support their right to do it. But to come here to say that there is some problem with trial lawyers bringing non-meritorious claims over weight gain, which has never happened, and say that that is the cause of the problems in our courts and people not having access to our court system is disingenuous. It's unfair to the courts who have to go around and defend what they do when they're underfunding, when they have to close windows and can't provide services to people, and we leave the impression that the courts are being used up by the courts and by judges and lawyers over non-meritorious cases. I think that's unfair. When we know these are the kinds of cases that are really being litigated in court. That's the point.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunhagen.
Representative Erdahl, a response to those comments.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen, Mr. Chairman. Well, first of all, in none of my printed material nor my remarks did I talk about, you know, those particular issues. That it's taking up too much court time, or that was not part of my remarks. I'm just going on. Once again, let's get back to what this is. This is about people making choices for the food that they eat. It's an issue that still is before us. 2 weeks ago on the TV show Harry's Law, the episode was about suing for weight gain. So, I mean, it's a TV show, sure, but the issue is still there, still in the forefront of people's minds. Again, just last summer, lawsuits being made in California filed because of Happy Meals. Certainly children maybe aren't responsible for deciding for themselves if they should buy a Happy Meal or not, but parents have to take some responsibility as well. And that's what this is about. Just the fact that no lawsuit has been brought forth in Minnesota so far doesn't mean that it can't in the future or that it won't in the future. And once again, whether the lawsuit comes to fruition or not is not the point that I'm making. I'm making that simply by filing these, they're costing money. And that Minnesota, I do not believe, is immune from this in the future.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Erdahl, thank you for bringing the bill forward. I think you are on exactly the right track of where we need to go here as a society and as a culture in Minnesota, one that focuses on personal responsibility. Mr. Carlson, I listened to your testimony, and I heard you talk about the fact that there's never been these types of cases or any beginnings of these types of cases yet in Minnesota, and then I heard discussion about how adverse health effects from eating could be construed to be the responsibility of people other than the individual with whom those health effects accrued. So I kind of heard a bunch of different things there. I really didn't follow them. But, Mr. Carlson, I'm curious, if we don't do something like this, and I think Representative Erdahl's approach here is to preempt or make certain we put in law language that prevents us from going in this direction, because I, as a legislator, one of the things I hear more than anything else is our society has gotten to be a sue-happy society, and personal responsibility is completely disintegrated is what I'm hearing from people. And I appreciate Representative Erdahl bringing this bill forward, and I think it's addressing that. So my question to you is, if we don't address this, is it a foregone conclusion, given the propensity of people to sue, that in the future that we're going to see something like this?
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Drazkowski, I believe the answer is absolutely not. And while your opinion that we are sue happy in a litigious society is not borne out by the facts, it just simply is not. If that were the case, we'd have more cases in suit today than we did 10 years ago. We'd have more people going to court right now in a bad economy than we did during a good economy. We don't. We have fewer people going to court, not by a little, by over 40%. So, well, I certainly agree with your premise. You know, I went to your hearing on your mandates bill. If we were going to have a bill like this to have a law about everything that is not a case, we'd have 50 volumes of statute books instead of 18. And I was there when you complained about the 18 that we have. If we have to have a bill for everything that is not a case, and these are not, we could be here 24/7. These are not viable cases for the reasons that I told you. Minnesota recognizes assumption of risk. That's first and foremost. If my culpability is more than anybody else's, I have no claim, period. That's what the law is today in Minnesota. In addition to that, even if there was some minor culpability for a food producer, you'd have to show that all of the other factors that contribute to obesity, lack of exercise, what you do, your lifestyle, your genetics, was greater than the food producers. It is not happening because it is legally deficient as an argument. This bill promotes the idea that those cases are viable, and they are not.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Drazkowski.
Well, Mr. Carlson, I don't look at this bill as a mandate, so I didn't really understand that connection you were trying to make there. But if we would get in the future and a bill like this would not become law, and we would get into the future and we would start to see lawsuits, you know, suing corporations, farmers, others for someone's weight gain and associated health conditions, would you say that we are moving more towards personal responsibility or away from it at that point?
Mr. Carlson.
A good question, Representative Drazkowski, and I will tell you that there are some, including myself, that believe that there is some measure of responsibility and accountability for the corporations that we buy products from. And so if I have a claim because I've consumed something that they know is going to cause me injury, why would I want to pass a bill that would eliminate that right and lower their level of responsibility and protection to the public?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Carlson, I was talking about the individual themselves. Would they at that point have a higher level of personal responsibility or a lower level? Would the responsibility be transferred to someone else if those lawsuits materialized?
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Drazkowski, that's a hard hypothetical to answer, but I would tell you that based on the scenario you've given me and looking at the language of the bill, it wouldn't be precluded in any event, because what you were talking about is something that was in the food that they ate that caused them an illness, which, as I understand it, even from Representative Erdahl, would not be covered by this bill. As to whether or not it's responsible to defend yourself in court, I think it is, and I think that's our right under the Constitution, Article 1, Section 4, our right to trial by jury, and Section 8, our right to redress and a certain remedy at law. So are you being responsible by asserting your rights? I think you are.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One last question. Mr. Carlson, what I'm asking about is the accumulation of kilocalories in the body tissue of the individual. Would that be a greater occurrence of personal responsibility for that individual, or would it be a transfer of the responsibility for that accumulation of calories in that individual's body?
Mr. Carlson.
No. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I don't think that I can't even follow the question, but if you're saying if I'm responsible for my conduct and I bring a lawsuit that doesn't have merit, that is an inappropriate use of the court. I don't support that. I don't think anyone supports that.
Representative Drazkowski, again. Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, just a follow-up, you know, to
and Mahoney.
Mr. Carlson, you know, when I look at past supporters, the handout Representative Erdahl gave us, we see that 23 states have enacted this type of legislation, and we also see that people who support this, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, among other ones. And the concern as a layperson that I have is that, you know, there seems to be this, well, not seems, there is an obesity problem. And when I look at other types of problems in the past, let's just say smoking, there was a concern too many people were smoking, so what should we do? Well, we should have a lawsuit to punish the tobacco producers and rather than other remedies. And I can see the same type of rationale developing with obesity here. First, you have this media publicity about the problem, and the next thing you know, you start seeing these lawsuits show up. And I think that's why you see over 23 states that have acted similar type legislation, because they can, you know, pretty much see what's coming down the pipe and want to take steps to protect their businesses and their communities from those types of lawsuits. Also, back to Representative Erdahl's original point, if it's a legal product and it meets the requirements and I abuse that product and it has a resulting negative consequence on me, I see that as personal responsibility and not the responsibility of the producer of the product. So again, doesn't that carry some weight with you in terms of how we've dealt with other so-called, you know, societal problems? And I just used the smoking one, and why something like this would be necessary.
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Grunhagen, on the personal responsibility point, you and I are in complete agreement. We completely agree. That is your responsibility. That's your personal responsibility, and I completely agree with you. What this bill says for its immunity is that when I manufacture a food that you consume that causes this weight gain and adverse health condition, I am not responsible. That's what the bill says. It doesn't say the other. It doesn't say if you eat too many cheeseburgers, you don't have a lawsuit. You don't have that now. You never did. And you're not going to. But so we're there on the personal responsibility. This immunity is governmental protection for your wrongful conduct. This isn't when you're doing the right thing. This protection is for when you do the wrong thing. That's the point. And the fact that 23 states passed it, if that becomes, you know, the bellwether, you know, 30 states have survivor statutes. Right across the border in Wisconsin, you can directly name the insurance company. Same way in Louisiana. There are all kinds of laws in other states. That has never been the measurement of what's good for Minnesota. And as to the tobacco case filed by an insurance company, you know, that several times over solved the state's budget problem with a $6 billion return of the increased cost that we spend in health care. You know, I'm not going to defend, I can defend that case. I'm not here to do that. But this is completely different. There are different causations. These are completely different matters. And I think to link the two, you know, just confuses what that tobacco litigation was all about.
Mr. Chair, just
Representative Grunhagen,
an observation. That's what 2.1 to 2.9 does. It allows the exceptions for lawsuits other than for the abuse of the product, is the way I understand it. So,
not as long as material is in there, would be my observation. And we've had this discussion, Representative Bertle and I have had this discussion on more than one occasion. Some years it comes out, some years it stays in.
Thank you.
Representative Mahoney, then Representative Lesh.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And you know, I have been against this bill for so many reasons. So many reasons. It's so many times. For those of you who think we're a Sue Happy nation, I believe, and I can't remember the exact ratio, it is corporations suing other corporations that bring more lawsuits than people against a corporation or people against people. Although, you know, I guess, as I understand it, corporations do have human standing, so they might be held to human morals and ethics, but you know, that would be wrong, because then they couldn't spend billions and billions of dollars. And I'm not talking just like in the single digit hundreds of billions of dollars to get our children to eat make bad food choices. And the fact that a child 2 years old, 3 years old, and I've had to unfortunately have to sat through a Saturday morning cartoons on with a young child in my home just a couple weeks ago, and I'm so grateful I don't have to watch Saturday morning cartoons very often. The amount of bad food choices put on by the corporate America is unconscionable, and a moral and ethical human being would never do that to children. I'd be more worried about a child abuse lawsuit against a corporate America for what they do in food. And by the way, we as a state only spend somewhere less than $50 million to teach our young children better food choices, as opposed to the almost $1 trillion in advertising to get them to make bad choices. But having got on that particular soapbox, I'll get off of it. Representative Erdahl, I'd like to congratulate you. I'd like to congratulate you and your caucus, because I've seen bill after bill after bill come through this committee which supports corporate America against consumer America time and time again. Essentially what you're saying is you want Americans to grant a free pass to any food producer in America. So they have no responsibility to the nation, they have no responsibility to the population, other than to continue to put the 5,000 calories of food production every day, when every scientist, every nutritionist, every dietitian will tell you the human body, for a job like ours where we sit all day long, needs no more than 1,500 calories. I'd like to see a bill that actually helps consumers come from your side of the aisle.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mahoney, thank you for your congratulations on that. But to me, that's what it's about. I mean, this is about protecting consumers in terms of what they're paying. Lawsuits cost money to consumers. I don't want to see fat kids. That's not what this is about. I point out to you again, I was a cross-country running coach. In 2005, I was, as I said before, named the Heart Association Legislator of the Year in Minnesota. So it's not about kids getting fat because of the bill. It's again, coming back to the original contention. This is about people making choices for themselves. And frankly, you don't see a lot of two-year-olds going into McDonald's buying Happy Meals. The parents make the decision if they're going to feed their children, if they're going to buy those products for their children. And that, in a nutshell, is what this is all about. You know, I do look on this as protecting the costs to consumers. I look on it as people making choices, and they should be making healthy choices. That's what it's about to me.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
Representative Erdahl, do you think corporations should make healthy choices someday? Kind of rhetorical. You don't have to answer.
Representative Erdahl, you want to answer?
Not today.
Okay. Representative Lesch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was trying to figure out where Representative Drazkowski was going in his line of questioning. And my continuing endeavor to figure that out, I would ask Representative Drazkowski a question, if I may, Mr. Chair. Representative Drazkowski, if you go to a hamburger stand, McDonald's or whatever, and you buy a hamburger, do you think you are more responsible for knowing exactly what's in that hamburger, or do you think the person selling it to you is?
Representative Druskowski, do you want to give an answer for Representative Lesch?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Lesch, I think you are responsible for eating what you eat, whether you're going into a hamburger stand or you're going into a cornfield. You are going to eat what you are going to eat, and that decision is yours. That's what the essence of this bill is about. Now, Mr. Carlson said, you know, this food, and it could be all full of all these nasty, you know, grease and everything else, and have potential to give you all these health disorders, including obesity. And well, Representative Lesch, if you don't eat it, it doesn't matter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lesch.
I appreciate that. If you just plain don't eat, you wouldn't have to worry about any of this, Representative Druskowski. The fact is we have to eat, and there is a little factor about what you put in the chain of commerce and whether or not you're responsible for that as well. Responsibility cuts both ways here. Your desire to limit it, simply the responsibility simply being on the consumer side, doesn't jibe with how commerce works in this nation. Responsibility is shared. Therefore, I remember in law school there was the part of contracts class that I did stay awake for. I remember them talking about contracts being construed against their maker. So if you write a contract and there's all this fine print in it, and no one's, you know, people aren't really sure what's in it, or there's a question about what's clear in it, the courts are going to construe those nebulous or uncertain terms against the person who drafted it, the person who made it, because they figure, well, if you made it, you're going to be in a position, you can craft it how you want it to your own benefit. So to the extent that we're going to construe it against anyone, we're going to construe it against the maker. The instructor used an example of a cake and who gets the bigger part of the cake, and equate that, if you will, to responsibility. And there's two boys fighting over a cake, and they say, well, you can divide the cake. And you tell boy A, you can divide the cake. You can cut it any way you want it. However, the other boy is going to get to choose the first piece. And you will see that cake be divided with razor-sharp precision down the middle so that he makes sure he gets as big a piece of the cake as possible. Similarly here, and, you know, Representative Erdahl, I've always liked Representative Erdahl. I think we came in the same year, didn't we? We did. And he's brought this all the time, and I've always liked it. At the same time, I think it's really important, in light of some of the other comments that have been made, including Representative Druskowski's, that this is not lopsided responsibility. Everyone has a responsibility to know what's going on here. And if we have to assign a greater share of responsibility to anyone, whether it's the consumer or the person who's selling the product, this country says that the person selling the product, the person who writes the fine print, the person who puts it in the stream of commerce, is more responsible, if anyone is, than the consumer who's going to buy it. That's why I have the concern with it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Erdahl, response.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Lesch. And certainly responsibility is borne by the corporate. Responsibility is borne by the corporations. And I appreciate the fact that when I make my infrequent appearances at McDonald's in Litchfield, that they do have on the placemat the calories of each of their products. And I read through them. So I know that my quarter pounder with cheese is 500 calories. And to dovetail a little bit with Representative Mahoney, I keep track of the calories that McDonald's has. I try to stay, not at one sitting, but through the day, I try to stay under 2,000 to 1,500.
Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, it seems like we have two choices in these issues. We have the litigation approach or we have the education approach. And I think what What our side is saying is that litigation is the wrong approach because it continues to reinforce the message that the individual is not responsible, that somebody else is going to take care of it, is going to absolve them, is going to bring their case and argue their case and make them appear to be the victim. So we've got to get off of this idea that litigation is the right approach. We've got to begin to do the education. It takes a little bit longer, but the marketplace does work. Individuals do become informed. They do make good decisions over time. And I'll tell you, I think that the bad products that are out there are going to disappear. I mean, this is how a good marketplace works. So, but the education piece is very, very critical, and I'm all for letting folks know that, you know, we don't like a lot of corn syrup in our food because it's a hidden factor that is really going to hurt you in the long run. So I'm very grateful for Representative Erdahl to bring the bill. I just want to say one thing, ask one thing of Mr. Carlson. Going back to the smoking litigation here in Minnesota, I think that the health insurance company actually joined the suit, but I believe the Attorney General brought the suit. If this bill passes, would this prohibit the Attorney General from bringing a lawsuit against food manufacturers?
Mr. Carlson and Representative Erdahl.
Mr. Chairman, members, and Representative Runbeck, a couple of points. Number one, I believe it would because it on line 1.19 deals with any individual or group of individuals, so I don't believe that the Attorney General would have any greater standing to bring a case than an individual person. And I'd completely support your idea about education. My concern about this bill is that we're educating people that lawsuits over obesity are being brought when in fact there has never been a one. So what are we educating them about that there's a case here that doesn't exist? That's part of my concern. And as to Representative Mahoney's point, you know, just according to the Supreme Court, personal injury cases in 2009, 3,800. Contract cases, which are generally the business-to-business cases that Representative Mahoney's talking about, 10,400, up 56% in the last 10 years.
Representative Erdahl, anything else on that question?
On that particular question?
Yeah. Your intention to also restrict the Attorney General?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The intent is that the restriction, again, is just on weight gain. You know, lawsuits based on weight gain, and that's what it is. Once again, I agree. A lawsuit has been not brought forth in Minnesota, but they still are being brought forth. You know, I might not have even done this if they hadn't once again started again last summer in California. You know, that could lead to impetus to do more once again. And so, just as I think maybe it's dying out, they come back, and it will happen in Minnesota someday unless we do something.
Mr. Chairman and members, my information is that California actually has a similar bill to what you're dealing with right now, so it certainly didn't prevent anybody from bringing a case. And if you want to limit the bill just to weight gain or obesity, which I think substantially improves the bill, you'd need to make an amendment on line 1.21. That and the issue of material on the back would, I think, substantially narrow the bill just to weight gain.
And, Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman?
Representative Erdahl.
And responding to that, as I did earlier to Representative Lesch, if we can make some changes that give some comfort to some people with this bill without changing my intent and the scope of what we want this bill to do, I'm willing to talk to them and do that.
Representative Erdahl, are you proposing an amendment at this point in time or something you'd like to discuss Mr. Carlson, between now and the Ag Committee?
Mr. Chairman, between now and the Ag Committee.
Okay. Any further discussion, members? Anybody in the audience that wants to testify for or against this bill? Members will soon proceed to vote. I just, Representative Lesch, I think to your comment, and maybe Representative Mahoney a little. We're talking a legal product in this.
That's
stream of commerce here, not not something that's been hidden or intentionally packaged something that is illegal or not. It's just simply if you eat too many Girl Scout cookies, which are very good, that's your own choice. And I just had a couple before I came down, and might have a few more when we get back up to my office. But that's my own choice, and I think that's the point of this personal responsibility. Any further questions? Otherwise, we'll proceed to vote. All those, the chair will, Representative Drazkowski renews his motion to pass House File 260. Four.
Is it
260? Passed House File 264, and as amend. No, there was no amendment on this one. House passed House File 264, and re-refer it to the Agriculture Committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion prevails.
Ayes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Carlson.
You very much.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. So. Members, no further items on the agenda. The meeting is adjourned.